WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
It's been 25 years since Philip Roth's sexual coming-of-age novel Portnoy's Complaint was first published. Vintage Books has just come out with an anniversary edition that includes a new afterword by Roth. Critic Maureen Carrigan took the opportunity to read the novel for the first time.
I was watching the news the night after Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis died last May. One reporter standing outside Jackie's apartment house was asking passers-by how they would remember her. Most mentioned her beauty, grace, and class. But one woman shook her head and said, "Jackie was a lovely lady, but oy, the life she had." I recognized that woman's voice instantly. It was the voice of the New York of my youth, where a lot of people, many, like me, not even Jewish, spoke a dialect shaped by Yiddish expressions and woeful worldviews. I remember thinking, that voice is fading out. In the next century, New York won't sound like that anymore. So one of the great pleasures of reading Portnoy's Complaint is listening to Alexander Portnoy talk. His voice was forged out of that epic clash between the cadences of the shtetl and the greater New York, New Jersey city streets. But Portnoy's voice also carries far beyond its origins. It's one of the most compelling, comic, eye voices in all of literature, right up there with the manic monologues of Chaucer's Pilgrims, Sterne's Tristram Shandy, and Huck Finn. Here, for instance, is a monumental Portnoy rant. Let me apologize in advance if I get carried away, but Roth's rhythms are infectious. Portnoy here is mimicking one of his mother's typical reports about a successful son of the old neighborhood. Do you remember Seymour Schmuck, Alex? Well, Seymour is now the biggest brain surgeon in the entire Western Hemisphere. Last year, with his wife and his two little daughters, he took them all to Europe for an $80 million tour of 7,000 countries, some of them you never even heard of, that they made just to honor Seymour. And on top of that, he's so important, Seymour, that in every single city in Europe that they visited, he was asked by the mayor himself to stop and do an impossible operation on a brain in hospitals that they also built for him right on the spot. And listen to this, where they pumped into the operating room the theme song from Exodus, so everybody should know what religion he is. And that's how big your friend Seymour is today, and how happy he makes his parents. You can see why Portnoy has problems. Portnoy's Complaint, you might remember, is fashioned as a novel-length soliloquy spoken by Portnoy to his shrink. During the marathon session, Portnoy discusses his constipated father, his obsession with shiksas, and masturbation, the only activity the adolescent Portnoy managed to hide from his all-prying mother. Back in 1969, masturbation was a taboo topic. Now it's the subject of Seinfeld episodes. Another thing Philip Roth was denounced for when the novel was first published was Portnoy's self-hatred as a Jew. Well, great novelists usually aren't PR spokespersons for their own kind. They're spies, saboteurs, secret agents. James Joyce caught hell for his portrait of the Irish. So did Toni Morrison for telling shameful racial secrets in The Bluest Eye. In his new book on the canon, Harold Bloom lists no fewer than 9 books by Philip Roth as essential reading. Some critics say that's because Roth and Bloom are pals. I don't know Philip Roth from Adam, but it seems to me he's earned his hot seat among the great masters of literature all on his own.
Maureen Carrigan teaches at Georgetown University.